The apostles were around Jesus all the time. They still had that little faith. Everybody said last night, Jesus was in his hometown. People that knew him best had the least faith. If you have never been to a charismatic event or a healing mass, God bless you, because you do not have restrictions on what God can do. Make sense? You don't have restrictions. You have never been told that God can't heal stage 4 metastatic cancer like that. Right? All you've heard are stories about pain nails being healed or finding parking spots. Nobody told you that, Nobody told you that. That God can't heal stage 4 cancer. But I was thinking about how the apostles weren't able to heal this man. Kind of brought me to an event in my own life where after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we're actually going to pray for baptism in the Holy Spirit, I believe, tonight. Raise your hand if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Raise your hand if you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit again. We all do. You know, Galatians, you start with the Spirit and you deal with the flesh. We need that constant renewal of the Holy Spirit. And I remember my own life where the next event in the gospel is actually something about your life. Where after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was running around all excited. And I went to this Assembly of God church. And the minister was praying over me. And I said, Lord, do you want him to pray over me? So he opened the Bible at random. And I actually got the next event. From today's gospel, not today's event, the next event. I said, should this man pray over me? The next, and this gospel I got was, the apostles came to Jesus and said, we saw a man casting out demons in your name, and we try to stop him. Jesus says, do not stop him, no one work a miracle in my name, and save my name against him. Well, think of that in context. The disciples weren't able to do it in today's gospel, right? So now they're criticizing somebody who had faith and could do it. Right? The reason why they went to the other man is because the apostles themselves didn't have faith. Make sense? Meaning, this other man did what the apostles weren't able to do. Right? Kind of shows, does that make sense? Kind of shows you that the Holy Spirit blows for every man. Holy Spirit is very mysterious, like the winds. He blows where he may. One of the things that I was going to read a reading from the Anointing of the Sick, where we read often. The Lord with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus came back. When did the microphone?
That was good.
I think about enough, right?
Yes.
Still good, right?
He needs to move it up.
So you can still get it, right?
No. That's what I know.
Can you still get it?
I'm still receiving.
Oh, you are? Jesus came back to Capernaum after the lapse of several days, and word got around that he was at home. Then began to gather in great numbers. There was no longer any room for them, even around the door. While he was delivering God's word to them, it was interesting, it was unspiritualized. They began to gather great numbers. There was no longer any room for them, even around the door. Meaning, it was so full. If we really trusted that the healing was possible, right, we'd be sleeping in the parking lot. Make sense? We'd be sleeping in the parking lot. Because we have no problem going to the doctors 3 times a week. Right? Ask yourself a simple question. Do you have more faith in the doctors than you know Jesus? Right? Do you have more faith in the doctors than you know Jesus? Don't tell me that there was a letter that guys put out for medical care and ablation. Right? There's a lack of medical care and ablation. The person mentioned how there was nothing, they didn't mention Jesus. or the laying on of hands. Right? I think they might have seen the invention about the laying on of hands, right? Meaning that if you really believe what the end of Mark's gospel, those who believe, these signs will follow those who believe. Right? They'll cast out demons. They'll speak entirely new languages. They'll drink deadly poison and it won't harm them. They'll lay hands upon the sick and they'll recover, right? If we really were a church that really believed that, and we're addressing the lack of medical care, disease in poor areas, right? Doesn't it seem that be normal that we kind of talk about the power of laying on hands, the power of Jesus to work miracles? Makes sense, doesn't it? So now we just kind of connect all that with fundamentalism, right? Jesus is alive. Same God yesterday, today, and forever. But when he said God's word to them, some people arrived bringing a paralyzed man to him. The four who carried him were unable to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So the man opened up the roof over the spot where Jesus was. So they made a hole and let down the mat when he was paralyzed with life. When Jesus saw their faith, Kevin reminded me of the reading yesterday. Peter and James said, he saw that he had faith to believe. He saw that he had faith to believe. And they said, silver and gold I have none. When Jesus saw their faith. Sometimes you can look in people's eyes and they can look in my eyes. He's honest. You can see, you have faith to believe. You can see if you have faith to believe. You can see whether that person has faith in sparkling in their eyes. Whether or not Jesus is a dead word, a dead letter, a dead person. Jesus saw their faith. You know, in the Gospels, Zacchaeus climbs a tree, right? You know, the woman touches the hem of his garment. Finally touching his garment. For lowering him down the roof. Meaning, they really believe that healing was going to happen when Jesus saw their faith, right? To what extent are we willing to be like Zacchaeus? Jesus saw their faith. You know, Jesus says, unless you become like a little child, so much as you know God. What's one of the things about that? When you read a book of a little child, children never get tired of being read to the same book, right? Read it to you again. Meaning that's like faith. Like people say, I want to get past once and nothing happened. Well, nothing happened according to how you see it should happen. It's not a pinball machine. And he says, it's not a pinball machine. God healed you on the level you didn't realize, right? And Jesus saw the faith and said to the paralyzed man, my son, your sins are forgiven. First healing is what? Inner healing. Right? Tell you, when I first got ordained, you know, get cancer, healing babies, kind of miraculous. Now, it takes me 14 years to realize inner healing is as important, if not more important, than physical healing. Instead, one of the images I used in my book was, I said, if you had two men, I am like good steel, like, to me, like children with Down syndrome are some of the most beautiful children you're ever going to see in your entire life. Right? Perfect the way they are. Doesn't always seem that way with your mom at that time. But there's such a beauty with that, children with Down syndrome. I use that example of how you have two men. One man is a marathon runner, running to the Olympics, his heart is full of anger, unforgiveness, and bitterness. You have another person who goes in a wheelchair, but his heart is full of love, mercy, and compassion.
God's eyes is more than you. The world would say to man, you run the Olympics. God would say to man, or the person, that is hard. Make sense?
Amen.
So, healing doesn't always happen in the way that we think or feel it should happen. Now, some of us are sitting there asking ourselves, what is St. Paul this way? He just blasphemed. Who can forgive sin except God alone? Jesus was immediately aware of the reasoning, but they kept it to themselves. They said to them, why do you harbor these thoughts? Which is easier to say to a paralyzed man, paralyzed, your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. That you may know the Son of Man is going on earth for your sins. He said to the paralyzed man, I command you, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. The man stood and went outside and said to everyone, they were all struck, and all gave praise to God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. And did this because it shows us two healings. What's the first healing that happens? It's in our hands, right? Your sins are forgiven. In Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. I need to get there. I need to believe that. And always believe that. First healing is inner healing. And the second healing is physical healing. One of the things that, there's two kinds of healings. We all need, we don't need physical, Jesus came to heal the broken heart. We all use probably some inner healing. My next talk is on the emotions. St. Thomas Aquinas' view of the emotions. When I was reflecting on how I do healing, pray, talking about how healing is associated with love, and this was kind of the dilemma in my life. The dilemma was, there's two ways you can approach healing. Power or love. And they're not mutually exclusive, they actually go together. But if your experience of God is only one of power, then you can't administer only in power. Make sense? But if you only minister in power, you're still on the same ground as evil, or the devil. He can work in a certain degree of power too, right? God doesn't want his miracles, for miracles simply out of power. But Jesus says, you will see power from on high. And the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power from on high. And the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witness. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. We are to operate in a certain degree of power. And the word power is dynamite. But it's interesting as numbers are getting larger, I was struggling with that. How do I work with larger numbers and still operate in love? Does it make sense? Because it's so much easier to operate in power. And I didn't know how to work the two things together. What was happening was I was getting totally exhausted spending like 10 minutes with all these people and wishing more people wouldn't show up in service. Make sense?
Yeah.
Right? Until, and it really was a struggle for me. Until the Lord showed me something. As St. Paul says, may the eyes of your heart be enlightened, and you know the hope which is in store for you, your hope of your inheritance, and may you have a spirit of revelation. Spirit of revelation. It occurred to me, I remember one person saying, you don't know something until you know it by revelation. You know what that means? You don't know it until you know it by revelation. Spirit of revelation. You don't know it until the Lord reveals it to you by revelation. Meaning, you can read tons of books on healing. It's all theoretical. It all sounds nice. You don't know it until there's a revelation. You experience it, and somebody else experiences it. The Lord gave me something by revelation. And he gave me by revelation, and this goes to the Father's talk. Revelation was, there's healing in the body of Christ. There's healing in the body of Christ. So in my healing services, there's actually three ways that people can heal. How does this work into what I just said? Works into, if you went to a many healing services, the minister's like, okay, do you believe? Do you believe this? The person's shaking. I believe. Meaning that Catholics, it's not just your faith or in my faith. It's the faith of the entire church. Right? Your mustard seed of little faith is connected to my mustard seed, which is connected to your mustard seed, which is connected to your mustard seed, which is connected to the mountain of faith of Mary and all the saints of the church. Make sense? And thirdly, there's healing in the body of Christ. Healing in the body of Christ. What's interesting is sometimes Protestants or other people call it this idea, is it faith or works? I remember Father Balthazar saying, we can make faith a work. Meaning, do you believe? So you try to work out your faith. Try to work it up, inspire yourself, strain every muscle to believe. Guess what? You have just made your faith a work. Make sense? You have just taken your eyes off of Jesus, and somehow you're trying to work up your own faith. And so when the prophet says, we have faith, you guys have work. Well, you can make faith a work. And you're not healed by, in some sense, by your faith. Your faith is the door that lets God in. Make sense? It's not your faith that heals your bad actions. Sense. It's God that heals. And the faith is that door opens up a little bit. It's interesting, and as I said last night, my favorite author is Renero Cantalamessa. He talks about faith. We receive according to your faith. Jesus said to Faustina, what harms or wounds the heart of God is not how much you ask, but how little you ask. Right? It's not that we ask too much. It's just that the fact that we ask too little. And when Eric Hathaway said, one of these things that really struck me was, faith is the door by which we receive. He didn't say, you have to be the most virtuous person. Our own commandments the best. Then we can leave ourselves the door out. Make sense? I'm not the most virtuous person. I don't need commandments perfectly. You don't really see it according to God, according to how well you keep commandments. Or how well you keep the virtues. You receive according to the degree of your faith. Faith is the door that opens up. Faith is the door that opens up. You never ask for, Jesus said to Faustina, it's not that you ask for too much. It's that fact you ask for too little. And St. Catherine Monterey, she saw a vision of Mary and prayed for coming out of the wings of Mary.
She noticed that there were some rings that had been raised from him. Dick asked the mom, Ray, and said, why are the rings coming out of some rings and not others? Why are some of the rings more intense? Rays more intense than others? And why are there some rays that have no rays coming out? St. Catherine said, that is, those are the graces that were never asked for. Those are the graces that were never asked for. Meaning, there are many things that you have not received only because you have not asked. Only because you have not Jesus says, and I tell you, ask and you shall
receive.
Seek and you shall
find.
Knock and the door shall be opened to you. What father among you would hand his son a if he asked for a or a stone if he asked for a piece of bread? If you all your sins know how to give good things to the Heavenly Father, your children, how much will the Heavenly Father give to you? Right? Ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened to you. Now, as Eric Lutz says, knocking on heaven's door. Faith is knocking on heaven's door. Right? You know, faith doesn't work on heaven's ass once. It didn't happen. God wants to stretch your faith. Stretch it. Stretch it. Stretch it. Stretch it. Stretch it. Stretch it. Almost to the point of like, what in the heck are you going to stretch it so much? Almost to the breaking point. Make sense? Almost to the breaking point. Stretching your faith. Stretching. Stretching. One of the things that moved me was, you know, that as you start to see, what father among you hand his son a stone, he asked for a piece of bread. And Francis Nutt, to me, I think is seemingly the best one on the writing of healing. Said that we have, our image of God needs to be healed. We have such a distorted image of God, right? Our image of God is more pagan than it is Christian. What do I mean by that? The pagans think that they have to placate God, make God happy, right? The idea of sacrifice, make God happy. Don't we kind of think like this? Like, if I miss Mass, I make God happy, I make God sad. You know, half the time we have this image of God, and God will be able to placate. Now, Jesus is saying, the Father in heaven is so much more loving than any parent could possibly be, right? So imagine he uses this image and spoke to me. You're in the hospital. And let's say you were in the hospital for, give me a disease. I don't know. Diabetes, right? You're in the hospital, you have diabetes, you're in the hospital. The chaplain comes in, nice guy, and says, Susie or Johnny, you need to accept this diabetes. This is God's will for you. The doctor comes in. Does everything he can to heal diabetes, right? Question. If that diabetes is God's will for you, why are you in the hospital to begin with? Does it make sense? If that diabetes is God's will, then why are you in the hospital? Right? Does it make sense? If that diabetes or cancer or heart disease is God's will, then why are you in the hospital in the first place? He also said this is spoke to me. We use language about God that if a parent were to use the same language, we would think that they were crazy and cold.
Make sense? But Jesus in the gospel that I read, my father among you, shows me how much more loving the father is than the child.
We use language about God. That if a parent were to use the same language,
you'd say that parent is cruel.
Do we not say, God is love?
Right? God is mercy.
Here's an example. What parent would ever say this? I wish my son would get cancer or get in a car accident than any one of us. Do we not use that same language on God? This illness is teaching me something, or it's like God allowed this to happen to teach me a lesson. Make sense? Meaning, we use language. I mean, God's way is typically greater than we can ever imagine. So it's not perfectly simple. Make sense? There's a mystery involved, right? Mystery. But it does point to this reality that we say things about God, like this person might have gotten a car accident because they needed to be taught a lesson. But if a parent were to say the exact same thing, you would say they are crazy, right? Meaning, ask ye shall receive, seek ye shall find, knock the Lord will be open. Would a father among you hand a scorpion if he asked for an egg, or a stone if he asked for a fish? If you, with all your sins, know how to give a good gift to your children, how much more would your heavenly Father give to you? I was going through some of these ideas of the miracles of Jesus. Remember, 35% of Jesus' ministry was working miracles. 35%. And he references it all the time to heal them all. Heck, miracles are so common that the apostles, Peter's shadow, healed people. It's his shadow, right? His very shadow, right? I mean, imagine, it said his shadow healed people, right? You know, St. Paul has one handkerchief to be passed up and healed.
Image of a prophet, right?
But here is a list of some of the healings of Jesus. Matthew's Gospel. Cleaning the leper. Healing the centurion. Healing Peter's mother-in-law. Quieting the storm. Healing the demoniac. Chapter 9, Matthew. Heals the paralytic. Young girl restored to life. A woman healed. Healing a blind man and a mute man. Mark 1, Jesus heals many. Many give you also all. Cleanse lepers. Mark 2, heals the paralytic. Mark 3, heals the man with withered hand. Cast out unclean spirit. Mark 4, calms the storm. Mark 5, heals the demoniac. Young girl's life restored. Woman healed. Mark 6, feeding the 5,000. Jesus walks on water. Mark 7, curing the deaf man. Mark 8, feeding 4,000, curing the blind man. Mark 10, healing Bartimaeus. Luke 4, healing the unclean spirit. Luke 5, cleansing lepers, healing paralytic. I mean, I don't even want to read all of them. It's just one after another. It's one after No, Jesus said to his apostles, he gave the apostles all authority over illness and disease. Go and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. And he gave the apostles all authority over every illness and disease. But it was just apostles. He also said to call the 72. So 72 is more than 12, right? 72 means disciples. How many of you are disciples?
We all should be, right?
72. It's like he gave us 72 authority to proclaim the gospel and heal every disease and illness. And at the end of Mark's gospel, he said, these signs will accompany those who believe. These signs will accompany those who believe. Not just apostles. These signs will accompany those who believe. They will, in my name, they'll drive out demons. Right? They'll speak entirely new languages. Pick up serpents. They'll drink deadly poisons and won't harm them. See, they have the life of St. Benedict. They're trying to kill St. Benedict because they gave him poison. Guess what? He blessed it. Nothing happened. I remember reading a paper about the pants and talking about how the person, this child, drank rat poison. You know, they were way off, and they remembered the scripture, and the child was perfectly fine. And that's serious stuff, right? And it says, they will lay hands upon the sick, and they will be healed, right? These signs will come to those who believe, right? Now, it's interesting about, so what does it mean to be, you know, like, healer? So that's talking about how it's healing the body of Christ. Know, there's power in the body. Remember, teaching by Aaron Contemplation, how the Holy Spirit is the atomic energy in the church. Meaning, we split one atom and look what we can do. Make sense? Split one atom. And look what the energy is released. The Holy Spirit is in the entire church, is in you. The very powers of the entire church is in you. You have atomic energy within you. There's healing in the body of Christ. So when I have my healing services, you know, after communion, and the person puts their hand on the shoulder of the person next to them, and the Eucharist is within you. And that's the body of Christ. We pray it's the body of Christ. Healing the body of Christ. Then after the Mass, you come up with one of the first word blessing. The Lord often gives me precise word that he wants to say. So there's something about the gospel that triggers the word. But at the end, you have what we call the gathering of the grace. I think we're going to do that tonight, or tomorrow. Meaning that the Holy Spirit is in you, gathered together, almost like grapes are gathered. And we pray in tongues. We sing for all. So the idea is the Holy Spirit is flowing to me, or it's flowing to you, and it jumps to me, right? And we come down and there's healing the body of Christ. So why don't you put your hand on this and show the person? Jesus, thank you that there's healing in the body of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit that is within me, that is within you, that is in the heart of Mary, that is in the heart of St. Joseph, in the heart of the church. Father God, we ask that we have the Holy Spirit that move within us in the body of Christ. We stay in the Mass. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of the church. We come here not with just your faith. Your faith is now connected to her faith, which is now connected to her faith, which is now connected to his faith, which is now connected to his faith, her faith, which is now connected to the faith of Mary, which is now connected to the faith of all the entire church. We are one by our healing in the heart. faith of the entire church. I'll give you a secret about healing that I didn't always get. When I first got ordained, I had so many issues of healing. Physical, I mean, psychological, emotional. I prayed a lot for myself, right? Guess what? I'm just going to give you a secret that took me a long time to learn. The more life you're going to be healed, the greater rate you pray for others, and you pray for yourself for success. Right? And I'm going to tell you something also that's very, very hard. Let's say somebody's hurt, and everybody has to be hurt. You will be blessed when you pray to that person who hurt you be blessed. Right? You will be blessed. And that's hard. Really hard, isn't it? We pray and you need it. But you will be blessed. And here's the way that you need to go. You need to go, Lord, bless this person more than I am blessed. Meaning that whenever you pray for abundance comes back. You're not going to short-sighted. Make sense? That's not how God works. It's not how God works. Even if your prayer is, Lord, bless this person more than me. Right? And that's hard to say from the church. But if you can work on that kind of faith, that kind of charity, so, Father God, we come to you as the body of Christ, flow within us, bring us healing. We come with all of our faith, all of our faith, all of our faith, all of our faith.
Jesus.